Do you think Florida would have, like, would be able to check their pride at the door to accept a bowl game bid with 5 wins? Or do you think they'd just be like...
And, you know, do you think Randy Shannon would just be like, oh,
like, do you think fans would even be like, yeah, we want to go to a bowl game, or do you think they'd all just be like, no? Like,
bang, I mean,
it.
Not if Malik Zaire is your quarterback. Like, that's the thing. Like, what are we doing? Like, I understand Malik Zaire was a graduate transfer and stuff, but like, it's competition, bro. I've seen you play. You're bad.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Alright, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends about college football and lifestyle. You can find the Wheel Route at thewheelroute.com, at the Wheel Route on Twitter, at Wheel Route Podcast on Instagram, and wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com is the email. You can download the show as per usual from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher. My name is Logan Whitehouse. I'm coming to you from Stuart, Florida. Lovely weather we're having here in Stuart. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. it's been nice. Had a nice break in the humidity and the heat. So yeah, necking up into the 80s during the heat of the day, but we're staying strong in the like high 60s at night. Good times.
Good for you.
Football, it's football weather. This is what I like to say.
Yeah.
Find me on Twitter at @LogOnTheDawn. Side note. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, when you boast about your weather, you don't get to drop the Twitter handle sometimes.
Right.
My name is Jordan Shank. I am on Twitter.com @ShankJordan. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I am very excited to spend the next hour and 15 minutes speculating as to what the new Star Wars trilogy is going to be about.
I know.
Did they announce some ish on that?
Yeah, Rian Johnson landed himself a brand spanking new trilogy today.
He apparently directed number 8 so well, they just handed him 3 new movies.
Who's Rian Johnson?
Okay.
He did Looper and Interstellar.
Oh, I never saw
Interstellar?
Those
Interstellar was Christopher Nolan.
I saw he was involved.
Anyways, he's doing the Star Wars movie that comes out in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And he's going to do a new trilogy, just completely separate from the main storyline. It's going to be great.
Man, those people are printing that money. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
I'm fine with it. They will have mine first day it's open.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name? Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Jason Kreck. It's very nice of you to ask. I'm coming to you from next to Jordan on the couch in Harrisonburg, where we've just entirely skipped summer and gone straight to winter.
Well, we skipped fall.
We skipped fall. Went straight from summer to winter. I'm all turned about. And I'm excited to be with you guys on Basketball Eve. And that's why we're getting together, so.
Yes. This is episode 25 this season, guys.
So, yeah, so shout out to the haters, of which there are many, who said we wouldn't do 25 episodes in a season. So
we're gonna press right on through that unless we all die.
We are
soon,
also printing that money, as they say.
Oh yeah,
one might say, gentlemen, what are you guys drinking?
I have a Centennial IPA from Founders Brewing. It's pretty good. First time I've had it. It's not bad.
It took me all of like 4 days to mismanage my schedule enough that I needed to break out my spare tall boy from Jordan's fridge. So I am having a fine Pilsner beer, Miller Lite.
Nice. Summer beer 2017 right there.
Darn
summer
nice. Season.
It's the good stuff. I have the little something again because I'm not consuming a whole lot of beers these days. So slowly trudging our way through. We'll be back, you know. Get some beers. We got some family visiting. God knows we're going to need some beers for that pretty soon. So, all right. Gentlemen, anything new happening? Jason, it's Basketball Eve. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm feeling fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I got a weekend of football in last weekend of just straight football. Right. So now I'm...
Got your head right.
I'm recharged. I'm locked in. Mm-hmm. The Basketball Dukes take on Bridgewater tomorrow night. A little tune-up.
Oh, crosstown rivalry.
God willing, a little tune-up. My job gets way harder if it's not a tune-up. But no, JMU should be should be exciting. They're going to be young and fun and probably a little dumb and freakishly athletic, which is a big step up from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, athletes. That's always exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Athletes.
Are they going to press?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're trying. It's very much the VCU model for the mid-major, which is kind of what you have to do as a mid-major.
It's effectively the spread offense of the of the basketball.
It's the great equalizer. It's the mass chaos.
Very nice. Jordan, anything new on your end, man? You just locking it in, cruising towards Thanksgiving.
Just cruising, ready to watch the Hoos tomorrow night on probably some bootleg internet stream.
All right, who they got?
They have UNC Greensboro. So we'll see what happens. There's been some upset UVA fans recently on the social medias because the trendy thing to do this offseason has been to name Virginia Tech the best basketball team in the state of Virginia.
I'm glad you brought this up. I saw that.
So
yeah, they're ranked. Virginia's not ranked, right?
Correct.
Yep.
So just playing with the quintessential Tony Bennett chip on your shoulder, and just go out and probably win the ACC again. No big deal.
Right. Lose all the home away games, win all the home games. Classic ACC.
Hold it. Hold
ACC
serve run. At home, win half on the road. You're going to the tourney.
Good to go. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I saw our guy Statman sent in his national letter of intent. Great last name for a basketball player.
Yeah, he's an Aussie.
Another Aussie. Love those. So, very good. All right, guys. Coaching Carousel, our first and most favorite stop on this. I don't think any news since our last episode that I can think of. The main open jobs are still the main open jobs. Florida, Oregon State, Ole Miss. Any others? Am I missing any big ones?
Well, so Arkansas had like a meeting of decision makers and made a decision not to make a decision.
Gotcha.
Basically.
I mean, the same thing has to have happened at Texas A&M, right? They were like almost reporting that they were going to make a move, and then maybe
yeah,
they're
that cooled
to
off
the end of
a
the
little
year.
Bit. So.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, maybe they'll make a move or some at the end of the year. But yeah, the SEC looks like they might have a lot of new jobs, like half.
What's yeah, they kind of do this pretty often.
Yeah.
It feels like.
But hopefully people are going to try to like shake it up a little bit, but we'll see. I think the SEC is suffering from a little bit of Sabanism
fatigue. Some Saban fatigue.
Yeah. Well, everybody's trying to beat Saban at what he does, and
right. And they think by getting his lieutenants, they can match him, and they don't realize that he is almost singularly designed to run a program the way he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like just the level of talent that they bring in, like it kind of doesn't matter what sort of systems they run. They're just out of control. So, that's the other like big variable. It's kind of hard to do exactly what they're doing when your level of talent is like a full 2-star ratings below them. Most of the time. So that said, we'll move on to playoff rankings. Our favorite thing to talk about early in the season. Nothing really changed. I think we had a slight reshuffling in the rankings, but what are we? Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson.
Sure, I haven't paid attention because it's meaningless at this point in the season,
right?
With so much ball left to play.
And then I saw I think 5 and 6 are the two Big 12 teams, Oklahoma and TCU, and 7 is Miami.
Yep.
So I think people are maybe coming a little bit around on Miami. Miami fans obviously super mad about this because it matters, you know.
Yeah. So they went from 10 to 7 after beating Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess their main beef is they're still behind teams with losses, which is fine. Their schedule hasn't been that great, you know, to date. It's been fine. So they, you know, Earth to Miami, you can win your games and you'll get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
they've got a great chance to make a move this weekend. So.
Right. Yeah, big move this weekend. They got, a feisty Hoos team that, you know, if they keep winning, that's going to be for the Coastal, right? So.
Yeah, Miami has to.
It is, Jason.
Yeah, it is.
I know you are factually accurate.
Well, don't shake your head at me.
Yeah, don't give me that sass. Don't give me that nonverbal
with
sass.
A real depressed look on my face.
Over here doubting Bronco Mendenhall.
You're just
going to
be upset when Bronco Mendenhall is riding the Hoos into the Orange Bowl, baby.
I wish I really should have made like a chart of you guys' week-to-week feelings. It would have been very exciting for
all of us. It would have probably looked like a UVA win probability chart against like against Georgia Tech last week.
Oh, accurate. My gosh. Yeah, that was the dumbest game, looking back at that.
Also, can I just take a tangent? We never talked about that extra point at the after their go-ahead touchdown. Did either of you guys see this thing?
The play that they...
So Banker throws to Lavroni for a touchdown with like a minute 20 left and puts them up 3. And the extra point was to put them up 4.
Right. It
ping-ponged off of both uprights and went through.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and that was huge in the grand scheme of things because they didn't have to protect against a field goal that would tie. It was it was just classic who's getting bowl eligible, you know?
That's good stuff. Real quick, before we move on from the rankings, I thought it was interesting. Jason, do you have them up? You were just looking at them. Where's Wisconsin?
Wisco is numero 8.
Yeah, so they're right behind Miami. They're undefeated as well. But then UCF is like 14?
No, UCF is 18. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the rank, and what is, what's, and the funny thing is Memphis is like 22, right?
Yeah.
So UCF literally has a better win than Wisconsin, and I think their second best win is better than Wisconsin. Wisconsin's best win is Northwestern, and their second best win is FAU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. They have a road in front of them. Again, an undefeated Wisconsin also makes it into the playoff, obviously. But it's kind of funny, like, you can tell the committee wants nothing to do with a G5 team being anywhere near the rankings because, and I'm not just out here like Scott Frosten. I just think that's hilarious at this point. Like, if these rankings don't really matter, then why can't you rank UCF closer to the top 4?
At least throw them a bone.
Like, I don't think nobody is saying, like, UCF is definitely a playoff team right now. Like, nobody has said that, but, like,
no, for them to be 18th is
absurd.
Yeah, you can't have them 10 spots behind Wisconsin when they have a better schedule, better wins, and are, you know, better margin of victory. Like, every single marker that they have is better than Wisconsin's today.
You clearly think Memphis has some game, and UCF clobbered Memphis. Beat them 40-13.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you don't value the fact that UCF beat Memphis by ranking them so close, yet at the same time, you give Memphis credit for obviously losing to UCF because you're still ranking them high.
So. Yeah, it's like, okay, we got an hour to determine these playoff rankings. We're going to spend 55 minutes on the top 10, and then we'll pick the rest out of a hat and see what happens. Right. And
yeah, so anyhow, I mean, it's a spectacle. It's funny, but it doesn't really matter. I just thought that was kind of curious, just if they really want to be honest with themselves. I think you got to put UCF and Wisconsin, like, at least on par with each other, wherever you rank them. So, okay, that's enough of that. Jason, let's talk the Dukes. Who the Dukes got this weekend?
Oh, it's Richmond week, Logan.
That's right.
Richmond week. The Spiders are in town.
81 South, 64 East, baby.
Darn right.
Bill Turner's Richmond Spiders.
Yeah. Shouts out to Big Bill Turner.
And Todd McShay, friend of the show.
Yeah, it is.
Acquaintance of the shows.
We know each other. The Richmond Spiders come to town. Kyle Auletta is their quarterback. He's a very, very good quarterback. Probably get some... He'll latch on to the NFL somehow. Practice squad or otherwise.
Because he stands for the anthem.
That's probably the most main important thing.
That's his best draftable asset.
Sure. But they have a very good passing attack. JMU has the best defense in the country. It's kind of strength on strength. But I think the JMU offense has a clear advantage over Richmond. It'll be interesting. We're like 19-point favorites, which seems super high.
Ooh.
But,
Because you should throw the records out the window when these two teams get to tangling.
JMU and Richmond matchup.
Literally open the window and just launch the records.
As far
make
as
it
possible.
Rain records.
Yep.
Light the records on fire and then throw them out the window.
Cool. All right. Well, go Dukes as usual.
Darn right.
You know, we are very pro. We're pro FCS on this podcast, and we're very pro JMU. So, any discussions on Mike Houston's coaching future?
He's employed at James Madison University.
Right, but I mean, is there any like whispering?
8:55 on Thursday night.
Come on, don't play dumb with me. You know what I'm asking.
I haven't seen him mentioned for anything.
I haven't seen him mentioned in any.
There's been fan chatter.
There's always fan chatter, even getting as high as Tennessee.
Wow.
No, I've seen it's like a couple radio hosts and a bunch of fans and.
I mean, if he brought in Buddy Stevens to be the offensive coordinator, then oh boy, fire up the Showtime cameras, baby. We're doing Hard Knocks.
I haven't read anything There's been no like actual writers that have been like, oh, I've heard so and so loves Mike Houston, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I suppose like one of these.
That being said, I don't think a
Mac or a G5 school has to come open probably for him to make a move. You would think, right?
At least, I don't even think.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe like a half or a third of the G5 teams.
Right. Well. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I've told people I don't, for the record, I'm speaking completely unofficially here. I have no knowledge of the situation. Whatever. I don't think he'd leave for the first bus out of town. I think he.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's any secret we're gonna have to work to keep him the next 12 to 13 months. So.
Yeah. No, and I'm not trying to like paint you into a corner or run him out of town. I'm actually interested because, you know, this is the only thing I like to talk about is coaching fit.
That's right. Yeah, that's great. Different coaches like to go. No, I mean, I think he is without question a rising star in the business. He'll be coaching at a Power 5 school at some point in the relatively near future, I think.
I think Nebraska's going to come open. They could go. He'd look good in the red and white.
Sure.
Man, remember when we had him pegged to NC State and then NC State went and won a bunch of games?
Well, that was the problem. We've talked about this. Is like we talked before the season that I was scared of NC State tanking and Doran getting fired, and that's a natural fit there. And then they went too far the other direction, and now Doran might get hired somewhere else by somebody. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe DJ Durkin goes to coach the Gators, and then Maryland comes open.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
and,
maybe
that would be your worst. And my life comes to a screeching halt. Yep. No,
we have a two-man podcast because you've been arrested.
Yeah, you would just take a break with Florida and you'd go all in on the Hoos, and it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I'd probably become like a Hoos / Miami fan, you know, just lean into like South Florida isms. I'd buy myself a turnover chain shirt, you know, I'd be wearing it on the pod every week.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
We need to make t-shirts that have the chain, but instead of the U, it just says the Wheel Route. And we can wear them to UVA.
That would be a good idea.
That's not bad, actually.
It's not bad. I don't hate that. So, okay, let's move on. Stocks and ball here. I think right now we got a great game, great ACC matchup going on.
Yeah, we're
right.
Live and in living color.
Pittsburgh, North Carolina. What's the score, Jordan?
I turned it off because I'm very focused on podcasting. But okay. It was 17-4. Oh, North Carolina has retaken the lead, 21-17. 45 seconds left.
They have the ball going in too.
Yeah,
we got a shootout in Heinz Field.
Yeah,
real gunslinging matchup. They're not using either of the two quarterbacks who have played the significant portion of the year to this point.
Who? UNC?
North Carolina, yeah. So Surratt and Brandon Harris are both on the sideline. It is, I'm going to guess, Nick Elliott.
Nice.
Let's Nate. Play name that white quarterback. Nathan.
Nathan!
Yeah.
Oh, that was close.
I was going to go with Nando Elliott, but apparently it's not right. So.
For anybody.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Always exciting.
Shout out to Pitt wearing those nice blue and yellow.
They got the Purdy throwbacks.
They're kind of like UCLA-ish, right? But a little more bright.
The blue's deeper. More royal, kind of like an EMU blue, and the yellow
kind
more
of like Ole Miss's blue when they wear the blues.
Deeper,
a little bit,
right?
But you're closer. But
it's like the BYU, not navy, but royal blue. I really
like
spectrum. That side.
There's a spectrum of blues in there. And it's not quite royal. It's not quite powder. It's like
right in it's that leaning towards royal.
Gotcha.
And this is a lifestyle powder. Podcast. So.
Yeah, we're going deep here.
That's true. Those are pretty unis.
If we could get Ann Whitehouse to get us the like full color numbers
color
on Pitts.
Just tell him to get that.
Well,
swatch.
That's a Benjamin Moore 0191.
Yeah.
That's your classic bear.
I'll take Hex preferably, but PMS will work in a pinch.
Listen, we're a Sherwin-Williams podcast here, GTFO. We all know this. Okay, so. Guys, question on Thursday night games. Have Thursday night games gotten, like, kind of worse this year? I feel like the better games have all been on Friday.
I think that's fair, and I think they've scheduled to where Thursday night is no longer the kind of the big matchup night, and I think the NFL going to Thursday night has something to do with that.
Yeah, okay. So at least every week, having a Thursday night game every week. That's probably true. I'm sure there's some sort of ESPN collusion.
Yeah. Well, because like five, 10 years ago, like Thursday night was the night. It was like,
yeah, no, oh, I mean, you, like, guys, you could always guarantee night
game, like, yeah, that is big. And now it's just like, oh, okay, there are college games on Thursday night, and I'm thankful for that, but the matchups aren't really that great. Right.
Yeah, Georgia, I feel like you could always guarantee like one like super hyped Virginia Tech Thursday night game every year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was kind of locked. It's like, how many Thursday night games does Virginia Tech get?
Yeah, because usually they would get like two because they would play at home and away. But I feel like, anyhow, we'll move on to Friday tomorrow. Recording this on a Thursday. Washington at Stanford is probably your matchup if you're interested in that. Stanford, a little one-dimensional at this point. Washington's defense, I heard, actually has crept ahead of Alabama's defense as far as like advanced stats go, yep, from just an overall defensive efficiency ranking. So, I don't know. Bryce Love's got a big load to carry, one might say.
He finally ducked below 10 yards a carry.
Ugh.
Which is insane.
Man. Jeez. So, yeah.
151 carries for 1,456 yards already. That's
like high school numbers. That's insane. That's
ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's so, not even like, oh, they have a pass game that like, no, that is a threat. It's just like, Bryce is going to get the ball and you got to stop him.
Yeah. Or it's just 24 lead all day, baby. Pull bang, that bang, guard around there.
Bang, bang.
Yep. So, all right. We'll
also,
move on
to BYU, UNLV could be fun, I guess, because there's like,
okay,
there's typically some hate in those like Mountain State Western yeah, matchups.
BYU is just so bad.
BYU
UNLV
bad.
Lost to
UNLV
Howard, right?
Lost to Howard. So, okay, so two teams with some big warts.
Right.
So yeah, it could be fun to flip to during commercial. Both,
I mean,
of those games
that's
kick off at 10:30.
That's a playoff elimination game. So
yeah.
Mike London basically screwed both of those teams over this year. If you
this is the Mike London's
just tentacles
trash
are everywhere.
Yeah.
Jason, can you check on Howard's record for me this year? How
6
they doing?
Degrees of Mike London.
All right, we'll move on to Saturday. Talk about our non-picker games. We have a quite slate of games this weekend.
Yes.
An embarrassment of riches. One
Howard
might
say. Is 6-3.
Bowl eligible.
All right.
Not so much.
Bowl eligible.
It's a technical term, Jason.
What bowl game does the SWAC get?
Bowl
Jason?
Eligibility is a state of mind.
Right. They play in the taco
I
salad.
Think, I don't
bowl.
Know if the SWAC gets an auto bid. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
The SWAC. Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna say I don't think so. Oklahoma State, Iowa State kicks us off early on. This is, you know, here we are. Another Big 12 game that matters.
In Ames.
In Ames at noon.
Nooner
so,
Ames, where dreams go to die.
Iowa State did lose last week to West Virginia, I believe.
Yes.
That's yep, correct. So a little bit of the shine off of the Iowa State Cinderella story. But Oklahoma State going to be licking their wounds as well. So both teams need a win here to kind of, I guess, stay buoyed. This could be a good game. Iowa State seems to play low-scoring games in the Big 12, which is kind of interesting. So
yeah.
And we'll see.
So I guess Iowa State technically is still in the running for a Big 12 championship berth is what I've heard.
Okay, that's probably true. If they went out,
yeah, could be a potential elimination game.
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I don't
think
it's
gonna be interesting.
I don't think the coverage of like their starting quarterback just like disappearing has gotten enough attention.
Right, right.
And it's like, oh, they markedly improved after this yep, guy left, which isn't a great look for
yeah,
Jacob Park, was it?
Yeah, the quarterback with the highest volatility hair in the
right,
in the entire
it's
in the
bad
entire
hair
league.
Like it's entertaining hair, but it's bad hair.
Yeah, he's kind of got the like Blake from Workaholics look. Going,
right, but only from like 2/3 of the way up. The like front was kind of like buzzed a little bit.
Oh, it's like Jalen Hurts style.
Yeah, a little
you know,
bit of that.
Jalen Hurts needs to address his hairline situation too. I hate to know
no, I see. I don't have a problem with Jalen Hurts' hair because he's got a lot more going on in the back with the dreads and like putting them in the
but that's true
knot.
But like, he has like a 3-inch swatch of shaved area before it starts dreading. Like in my mind the dreads need to start where your hairline starts,
right? But my argument for that is, one, He's always wearing a helmet 90% of the time. And while you say that's the case for the Iowa State quarterback, I think dreads are much more apt to, you can kind of flip them over the front and cover that swatch if you need to, I would imagine. I can't speak from experience.
I suppose.
The nasty Iowa State perm doesn't translate to falling forward as favorably. That's true.
I just feel like if you're trying to introduce dreads on the front of your head, you need to go with more like a Minka Fitzpatrick haircut, like the short dreads. Or I don't know if you've seen Kadarius Toney from Florida. He has the small pile of short dreads on top that kind of go all directions.
Okay. Kind of like a chia pet.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Lifestyle
podcast, Jason. Do you got any hairline takes?
No, I don't.
You can't be sharpieing that in like Randy Shannon. I don't know if you've seen his hairdo recently. Carlos Dino Babers.
Nope.
Check out Dino Babers' hairline
if you get
a chance.
Nope.
Jason.
Nope.
That is lacquered on with he takes a postcard and just gets that right across.
The good sheen.
It's like a bowl. It's like a bowl cut. But
it's screen printed on there.
Screen printed. Well, the same guy that makes our turnover chain shirts does Dino Babers' forehead before the games. So, okay.
He's like
a Swiss
Army knife of lifestyle products.
College football related lifestyle.
What's the matter with your people?
Florida at South Carolina.
Woo!
Here's a matchup for the ages. Oh, this game's on CBS, which is hilarious.
Yes.
Florida heads to. What's that stadium there called? I forget.
Bryce Love?
Bryce.
I don't think it's Bryce Love.
Bryce Denny is.
Bryce Denny's Alabama.
And it's Bryant Denny. So, all right. Good work, everybody. Putting the words together.
Experts here assembled.
Right.
I saw Malik Zaire starting again for no reason, no good reason at all.
Is Frank's hurt, or is it just like Randy Shannon's like, this is my guy?
No, yeah, yes.
Okay.
I mean, Randy Shannon is actually probably in the running for getting fired as the interim at this point. So, I mean, I have...
What's the line of succession there? Who takes over if Randy Shannon gets fired?
I don't know. Probably probably Nussmeier.
Oh.
Maybe we could get him out of doing actual offensive game planning and do more full team game planning.
Playing that 12-dimensional chess. We need this guy not calling plays anymore.
Well, y'all,
let's put him in charge of the program.
I'm sure Florida's still paying Charlie Weiss some sort of residual.
He's probably on retainer
somehow,
technically.
Probably not though, because he left Florida to go coach Kansas.
Oh yeah.
So I don't think they're paying him. But Notre Dame just finished paying him. Because they actually get the pleasure of firing him instead of him leaving. So, this game, I don't really have a whole lot to say. I mean, I think Muschamp might do it to him. Might do it to him pretty good.
Do you know what the line is?
Yeah, it's Florida plus 5.5.
Yeah. Oh, really? I heard 7 earlier. So,
yeah.
Same idea. I don't really like Florida to cover in that situation. I mean, I don't think. I mean, it could be a really ugly game, and you lose by
South Carolina bowl eligible
10.
Yet?
Yeah, they're 6-2, I think.
6-3, just like our Hoos.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Big Bill Muschamp, making gains.
Like I said, get him while the getting's good, boys. This is your year, 2017's your year. Knock on the Gators, baby. So I honestly don't know what the plan is. I have no idea why if. Zaire's not going to be on the roster next year. I don't know why you don't play Franks. And everyone's like, oh, his confidence is shot and all this stuff. So what? Yeah. You got to know what you have in him. And, you got to maybe try to – I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't
refuse
to run the quarterback.
Counterpoint, he doesn't develop bad habits keep getting them ingrained into him that Scott Frost has to then undo. It just makes it a smoother transition if he's unblemished
just
any further.
Flick the tape on of the Tyree Cleveland throw and the 78-yard run against Kentucky or whatever game that was.
Yeah, Coach Frost, we have 2 plays that Franks ran all of last year. They're the only plays that survived the fire in the film room. We would like you to watch them and game plan accordingly.
Right, yeah. So, we'll see what happens there. There's been, a lot of noise, chatter, obviously everyday chatter on the coaching search there at Florida too. But the new hot names are Chip Kelly and Bob Stoops have been added to the Frost pile. But I kind of feel like the longer it goes, the more the guy on the Big Three Roll-Up said this, but the longer it goes, the more likely I think it's Frost.
Yeah.
because he's still coaching meaningful games for his team. And if Florida really like thought Chip Kelly or Bob Stoops is going to get hired, they would probably go ahead and go for that.
Yeah. The AD had an interesting tweet today.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like this guy. He's got a little sass to him.
A little sass. Know? And he used like the weird screen grab of that had a watermark of the website's URL on it, attributing it to Edgar Allan Poe, which is like total dad move. So, you know, you got a good AD right? if he's doing like dad tweets.
Yeah, he rocks a strong checkered button-up shirt at all times. The gingham?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're big gingham fans on the podcast.
Right, right. Well, a couple of UVA grads here.
Right.
I know Jason's got some gingham in the wardrobe.
Gingham? Not so much. Gingham so with much. A little, like, little puffy vest on top? You just be on the corner tearing up Club Trend?
hitting up Bodos.
I don't like any of these just words.
Saturday yes, morning.
You do. You don't like them, you love them.
No.
A little deli egg, lettuce, tomato, onion, a little mayonnaise on there.
Just soaks it right up.
Large coffee. Let's do it. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech is the next game.
Why am I here? What am I doing?
Jason, you got thoughts on Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech?
Hokies minus 2.5 is what it opened at. I love Virginia Tech minus 2.5 in this.
Yeah, that's a really close line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely...
Oh, yeah. At Georgia Tech.
You going to cash in that 401k?
That famed Bobby Dodd home field advantage.
Make a little splash. Cash in that 401k, make a little splash.
I don't think so.
In the desert.
So, no. You had long travel. You had Bud Foster screaming at the defense about defending the option all week, and then you got another long travel.
Yeah, so
You also had Virginia Tech with the least amount of offensive creativity since, like, maybe the University of Florida. Their offense is really...
Well,
like,
since Virginia Tech
was really
Tech
bad
was
last week.
Awful.
It looked better earlier in the year. It was really bad last week.
It's really draggy. I mean, I don't know.
So I saw a tweet, I think it was David Teal, like, tweeted out, because all of the ACC games for this weekend got put on the hold until Saturday's games got finished, and then they were going to divvy up the time slots. And David Teal just sent out the most, like, innocent factual tweet, like, Virginia Tech will be playing Georgia Tech at 12 or 12:20 or whatever it is.
Virginia at 3:30.
And someone replied to it like, well, that's very typical of the ACC to do to us, like a night game in Miami. We got to fly back to Blacksburg and then fly to Georgia for a nooner on the road again. Typical ACC bias. Like, oh, man, if you want to talk ACC bias, brother, like, let's look at the schedule and how it shaped up for your boy Frank Beamer for the last couple of years, because he got some very favorable, like, back off the bye week matchups and these sorts of things. So, I love Twitter.com for the most part.
It's a great website. It's amazing that the website is free.
Right.
You know?
It's amazing that we get that for free.
It is truly, truly wonderful. I did hear also, just speaking of stupidity, I did hear that there were some Florida fans inquiring about should we hire Muschamp again, like literally.
Oh my gosh.
That's some PTSD that we don't need to.
I would pay for a subscription for a webcam on you as you discovered that.
Just like, oh no. Yeah. Oh no. He probably just like, we're getting the band back together, guys. y'all are still paying me from the first time you fired me. So I'm bringing my boy Kurt Roper back to run some more.
He knows the town. He feels comfortable here. He won't have to readjust himself. It'll be a smoother transition.
Yeah. So Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. I mean, interesting matchup. Georgia Tech, again, here we are talking about Georgia Tech. You never know with them. They could win it. They could lose it. I just will say that I was a lot less impressed with Virginia Tech than I was planning on being. And I was trying to, like, have a good attitude about, you know, thinking Virginia Tech was going to impress me last week. And Miami was really good. And all the credit probably belongs more to Miami than Virginia Tech being great.
I'd caution against reading too far into one game. I don't.
Sure.
Virginia Tech is not world beaters this year. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but do you think, I mean, it's not like Miami's a tremendous team. They got torched.
Yeah,
they looked it.
I think Miami's strength is definitely defensively, and they, for the first time, made Josh Jackson look like a first-year starting quarterback. I don't think Georgia Tech has, by any stretch of the imagination, that kind of defense.
Right.
I think Virginia Tech's going to steamroll Georgia Tech in this. I would be surprised if it's not a double-digit win.
I think Virginia Tech is 2 touchdowns better than Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in theory I would agree. I just think that this, you know, Georgia Tech always presents a strange crossroads here on which way games could go. So,
right.
All right, we'll stay in the ACC, move on. Florida State at Clemson. This game looked a lot sweeter about 10 weeks ago. Yeah. But Alabama ended Florida State's season about eight weeks ago. So
52 minutes into the first game.
here we are. I don't know. Florida State's, you know, they could play for some pride here. I don't see a way Florida State beats Clemson.
No.
No.
I don't either. It's a road game for the Noles, which maybe is better because they don't have to play in front of those, you know, sassy Noles fans who are always
Jimbo
always
won't have
trying
to worry
to
about getting into the fisticuffs after the game, right?
Yeah, I didn't see what the spread was for this.
15.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're curious, the FPI favors Clemson in Death Valley.
Yeah, that's an actual content article that ESPN.com published today.
Right.
So that Florida State officially rescheduled that ULO game, right?
Love it. Yeah, I think they did.
They put it on the books.
Love it.
Hey, man, I mean, they can make a bowl game. They got a freshman quarterback that could use 13 extra practices, I'm sure. Yeah. So
also, that means that Florida State-Florida game will definitely be for bowl eligibility, right?
For Florida State.
Florida's already out?
No, I don't think Florida's already out, but they have to
beat South
Carolina,
I believe. Are they at
six losses? I believe. They have at least five.
They are 3-5.
They're 3-5, so.
But they only have three games, but they'd have to reschedule if they lost another one.
Yeah.
Unless their APR is very shiny.
Yeah.
I think they could actually get in APR-wise. I heard their APR was maybe okay, but I don't need that sort of. this Florida team doesn't need to go to a bowl game. Someone else can go.
Yeah.
Do you think that Florida would have would be able to check their pride at the door to accept a bowl game bid with five wins, or do you think they'd just be like?
And you know, you think Randy Shannon would just be like, oh.
Do you think fans would even be like, yeah, we want to go to a bowl game, or do you think they'd all just be like, no?
Not if Malik Zaire is your quarterback. that's the thing. Like, what are we doing? Like, I understand Malik Zaire was a graduate transfer and stuff, but like, it's competition, bro. I've seen you play. You're bad. You're not good. Like, nor does the coach help you out one bit. But like, he wasn't helping Franks out either. So you know, like, I'm sorry, but anyway, we got to stop talking about Florida. All right, Iowa at Wisconsin. This is an interesting game. I believe both these teams are ranked. Iowa's been getting some love recently, and they just came off an absolute fricasseeing of Ohio State.
Shuddered.
Skull dragging, if you will.
Right. So this is, this has got to be Wisconsin's biggest game of the year to date.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
What do we think? It's at home, of course. God forbid Wisconsin.
Iowa's
got to
go to
like,
Camp,
you know,
Randall.
Go on the road.
There's going to be some jumping around.
People can jump.
Put that in your stone cold lead pipe lock.
Right. Wow, Wisconsin is 12.5 point favorites.
That seems high.
That seems very high. I'd lay some cash monies on Iowa there. Yeah. They're like the Iowa State. Iowa and Iowa State, very similar. They kind of keep games close. Like, maybe they win more than they should, but like, it's always kind of close and gross. They're like sort of like Michigan State too, I think, maybe.
They dirty it up. They don't make it comfortable for anybody, which I can respect because I'm a big fan of UVA basketball.
Yes.
I like Hornibrook. His TD interception ratio is 15-9 this year. Like Wisconsin's a very run the ball and pass only when necessary type of program. I think Wisconsin.
But Hornibrook's been okay for them, I think.
Yeah, I think. I could see Iowa coming in and winning 14-6 or something.
That's way too
wild
normal.
Like
that's
going
to have to be like 13-9.
Yeah. No, but that's
15-11.
That's the reverse psych. Like you're expecting a 12-3 game.
You
but,
thought we were going to miss that extra point, but we didn't.
This game is undoubtedly going to be 8-5 at some point.
Right.
So.
Thankfully, I won't have to really watch much of this game because there's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in this game. Just like I would like to see, I would like to see what Wisconsin looks like against some decent competition. And you know, because I think Wisconsin, to their credit, they do what they do pretty well, and they sort of always have. You know, they don't really break away from their mold, but They're a little, maybe you could call them a little bit stubborn, but they always play really good defense. Their defense always seems like surprisingly, I don't want to use any coded words here, but surprisingly athletic and really on top of things.
Gym
so,
rats.
yeah. A lot of gym rats, a lot of TJs and AJs out there running around doing the thing for them. So yeah, I mean, I might put this one up on a screen. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, but this is definitely a game that Wisconsin either wins by 35 points or loses. Like, I don't think there's a, I don't know that Wisconsin like guts one out here. So,
yeah, gutting it out is the Kirk Ferentz business.
Yes, that's more of a Mark D'Antonio, Kirk Ferentz type situation. All right, we'll move on. Last game before we start picking, UVA at Louisville, rolling into the slicer, the Yum Center or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the
Field.
Official pizza of the alt-right and the white supremacists.
That's right. Business is booming again, though, so we're all happy about that.
Sure. I think, like, heading into the daunting last four games of the year for UVA, like, Louisville is probably the team I thought they matched up best with in terms of trying to get a sixth win just because of Louisville's defensive struggles. They played them really tight last year when I think Louisville was a better team. I don't like that UVA is coming off of playing against, you know, the cut blocks that the Yellow Jackets employ, and Louisville's coming off a bye this week. This game opened Louisville -9 or 9.5, and it got bet up to 11.5, and ESPN has it at 12 now with the quickness. So I don't know what to expect. I think I would bet UVA to cover this. I have no expectations. They're going to a bowl game, so unless you see guys like catastrophically injure themselves, I'm not going to be, I don't think, too disappointed with any outcome this week. So.
Right. I like loose UVA with maybe playing a little bit of the weight off their shoulders from the bowl stress coming into this game. I think that could be an interesting angle. And Louisville's defense is no good. So
no.
I mean, if Kirk Benkert is out there dropping those dimes down the chimney, we could be on to something. So what is the line?
12. Yeah. Louisville by 12.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems high.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to me talk about the.
We went over this.
That's my bad. I was reading.
Yeah, you were reading. Okay. You were reading things.
I was reading tweets. My bad, guys. All right. Well,
I also point out
cool.
that Lamar Jackson, as rough as he's looked at times, still has almost 4,000
total yards.
All-purpose yards. He's crazy. He's a freak. That's going to be tough. Micah Kizer, not very fast.
He's also hurt. So.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Did you say that as well?
What's that?
Did you say that too? Did I miss that too?
No, not yet.
Okay. But is he out for the game?
No, he's not even on the injury report, but he's at like 70%. He dinged up
maybe
his knee early
so
in the
slow.
Year, and then he tweaked it against Georgia Tech. So
yeah, he looked really slow.
Yeah, I think and like teams that recognize that will pick on him a lot and like try and get the running back matched up with him out of the backfield, and he just can't cover it, and it's a big liability.
Right.
But
right.
for whatever reason, like teams in the ACC haven't done a whole lot of that this year. So,
well, it's good that he plays middle linebacker because they can at least kind of like hide him in the water. I mean, he's a great player. Just you know, you don't really want him running out trying to get out on the wheel route. You know,
yeah,
can't defend the wheel.
Yeah, and like unpopular opinion maybe, but I would be in favor of just like, hey man, just like shut him down until the Tech game. Let him kind of get his knee back as best you can. Don't risk kind of a money loss situation.
Right,
because he came back for a senior season when he could have made some good money coming out last year. So. But ultimately, I guess it's his choice. So,
right,
he's an adult.
Do you think UVA has like three players drafted off the defense this year?
Yeah.
Do you think Brown gets drafted?
Yeah. And I think like some people were saying like, yeah, I've seen projections, mock drafts have him like third, second, even first round, and it's just like, well,
that must be like 100% unmeasurable.
That
I guess,
is, but. Yeah, that's surprising. But he's like he's drawing a lot of double and triple teams, so. I don't think scouts are worried about like lack of production or numbers.
Sure.
They just kind of see what attention he commands and what he's still been able to do with that. So,
right.
Good for him. But yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got to think Blandon gets drafted too. He's great. So, okay, guys, let's pick some ball games. Jordan, they keep filling out the
lines. Do we not
want
to talk about Kansas and Texas?
No.
The grudge match
action.
You want to talk about that?
Yes. Sing us your sonnet, Jason.
I'm all set.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yep, yeah, I did what I had to.
I'm sure that's going to be an electric atmosphere.
Is that in Texas or at Kansas?
It's in Austin.
Oh. Oh, that place.
Fire up
rolling.
The Pecan Lodge, boys.
Yep.
So we'll get to see Texas play to the level of their opponent again and win by four on the Longhorn Network.
Jordan, it's hard to win a college football game.
It is. Right? Yeah. No one knows that more than me.
Tom Herman be out there hugging and kissing everybody in sight.
Right. Thank you for being extra hydrated this week, boys. I know this game meant so much to you. You drank that extra water and stayed away from coffee at breakfast.
Logan, you would weep with joy if Florida hired Tom Herman.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, not with joy. He's got a lot of Urban Meyer on him. But that's okay.
That's the
best compliment you can give a coach these days.
Hey.
Sort of.
Could be better. Could be worse.
Well, it's better than having a lot of Nick Saban on you.
True. Unless you're Governor Kirby.
Who?
I'd like someone out of the Mike Leach coaching tree.
Except UVA's offensive coordinator has some Mike Leach on him, and that hasn't worked out tremendously to this point. So.
Right. Samoan Mike Leach.
Just hire Hal Mummy.
Oh, God. We're talking about it again, guys. All right. Michigan State at Ohio State. First game. Ohio State, 15-point favorites in this game. It's at home. Bounce-back game situation. Jason, give us your analysis. You've been silent on the podcast so far. We've been talking too much.
The line is big. So let's hear what you got.
I don't got anything.
I don't got nothing,
I got nothing. Jeez. What a stupid line.
I think we need to point out here that we like intentionally pick like the five hardest games every week.
It's true.
Seems like.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah, little PSA for those of you thinking of dipping your toe in the gambling pool. Money generally doesn't get made on
Premier
the marquee
eight, yep.
matchups. You got to find those fringe games, like stick to one team and know them, love them. You know, really study them, and that's where you can make your money on kind
Absolutely.
Of under the radar teams like a Howard or a UVA,
like a Howard
MT, and a directional
or a
Michigan.
Northwestern, yeah,
yes.
Really study a niche.
Florida is both Atlantic and international.
Yeah, directional Tennessees, if you will.
The good teams in Florida, like FIU and FAU.
The good teams. Yep. Sorry to interrupt, Jason, but that was a little.
Yeah, I had a perfect idea about this game, and now it's gone. So I don't know. That was.
No, that was Gambling Tips with Jordan. That's a new segment that we weave in the middle of.
Just dropping
it
randomly.
We talked about teasing games last week, so.
That half point. Vegas knows what you're talking about.
Vegas knows what he's talking about, Logan. I am going to take Ohio State.
Woo!
Wow.
I don't think anybody really knows how last week happened.
Kirk Ferentz does, brother.
Kirk Ferentz happened. That's what it.
Trying to coach the Indianapolis Colts next year. He knows.
Probably. Locked down like a 12-year contract.
Would save Iowa a lot of money.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's just wildly talented, more so than Sparty. And I think they'll be pissed off. It's a nooner. I think Urban will put it on him a little bit. That's a smart thing to check. Jordan's
up.
Checking the weather.
Classic.
This is the kind of next level
Classic
thinking.
Urban. Let's go, Jordan. Let's get the weather report.
All right. Saturday should be cold and a bit cloudy.
Big
so that's
weather.
That's points weather. That's football weather. So
football weather.
Yeah, give me the Buckeyes too. They got a lot to play for still. As does Michigan State, TBH. But I think you want a strong bounce back game. Urban, I think, will have his dander in a ruffle, or something of that nature.
Words like that.
Yeah, give me the Buckeyes. I think I'm done with, and I hate Michigan State, but for tangential reasons that happened in March. Give me the Buckeyes.
Involving a accordion playing basketball coach.
Yeah, a certain snake of a man.
So I'm going to, I guess, take the opposite approach here and not, first of all, not tempt fate. But listen, you can't go 0-5 without picking against you guys sometimes. So I'm going to take Michigan State. I like Michigan State's ability to keep this close. I think if this line was under 14, maybe I would be more apt to go Ohio State. Because those guys in Vegas, as mentioned previously a couple times, know what they're talking about. But I think Michigan State is the exact kind of team that, like, makes this game just absolutely miserable. And Ohio State can, like, put a convincing 10-point win together, and I think that they would still be fine. So yeah. Give me the give me the Spartans,
yeah.
As much as it pains me to say it.
Yeah, this is one of, like, four of the five games that I wouldn't bet with live money. But because we love our listeners.
Right. Hey, question. Can you guys name a player on Michigan State's roster?
No, I cannot.
Draymond Green.
He's that basketball player. He's probably still there.
Keith Payne or something like that. Keith. Didn't they have a? They
had no. Payne. Keith Payne was a big UVA running back, but he might have also played basketball.
He was in the Mykel Simpson years. Wasn't he
was the big back those years. Juice.
He was the thunder to Mykel Simpson's lightning. Yeah. He was the Lindale White or the Jaworski Lane of UVA backfield.
Okay.
So. Let's all right, UGA at Auburn. Guys, this is a game right here.
Yes.
Georgia-Auburn at Auburn. We got a home dog situation cooking at Jordan-Hare. The Eagle's going to be soaring. The planes are going to be abuzz with activity. This is, I believe, the 3:30 CBS game.
Yeah, this is the game.
Uncle Gary and his shenanigans.
Yes. Hopefully they have a game into the fourth quarter so we don't have to get into Uncle Gary and Brad talking about like how they spent their week at Gary's house, like hanging out and stuff. That little montage that they cut to is a little much.
It's getting old.
It's a little much, but not a great year for CBS games. But that all aside, Auburn, Georgia is 2.5-point favorite. I think that this is definitely the biggest test for Georgia to date. Well,
besides Notre Dame,
they played Notre Dame. This is going to be the biggest defensive test for Georgia. How's that sound? Auburn's defense, I would say, is definitely better than Notre Dame's defense. But Auburn definitely doesn't run the ball as well as Notre Dame does. So we'll see. But they do some weird, different things on offense. Georgia runs a pretty basic defense and kind of just does that Nick Saban, like, let the players flow and take away what you do well kind of thing. As discussed, Kirby's the reason for Alabama's dynasty the past, like, you know, 15 years.
Right,
not Nick Saban. So.
And it's just his aura lingering. And blessing Coach Saban to this point.
Right. So, Jordan, I think you get to lead us off on this one.
I do. I am going with the team that still has a little Grayson Lambert aura on it. I'm going with the Dogs. I think I'm very excited to watch this game during commercials of the UVA-Louisville game. I think Georgia is just a more well-oiled machine than Auburn. Yeah, I honestly like haven't seen much of either of these teams, so I'm trusting what I kind of see on Twitter and hear from those that I trust marginally to inform me about things. I'm going to go with the Dogs. 2.5 is a very comfortable line for me to pick the number one team in the country.
I'm going to go with Georgia as well, Jordan.
Smart!
I'm going to say mostly, though, I'm leaning on Georgia's. Georgia's defense has impressed me from what I've seen from them so far this year. And Auburn tends to, although I'll say Georgia doesn't have an overly disruptive defense. However, Auburn tends to, if they play a good defense, they, like, get a little out of sorts. You know, Auburn has some specific things they like to do, ways they like to build upon their running game and sort of some misdirection stuff. And Georgia seems like they should be able to take that away. So, you know, this could be a big game for Stidham. If he can stand back there and throw against the secondary, then who knows? All bets are off, as they say. I'm not really too worried about Auburn's defense against Georgia. You know, Georgia wants to run the ball. If Georgia could not throw a pass, they wouldn't. Also, that's the other thing. Like, they would rather – I mean, they have two horses in the backfield. So,
yeah.
Chubb and Marshall are great. Fromm is fine. I think he's going to be really good. They do have a couple decent receivers, but – if they could just hand the ball off all game and get 5-6 yards a carry, they'll do that. So I think eventually they'll be able to do that. And so I guess you could probably launch launch our guy Gus Malzahn back onto the hot seat after this game, too, to be honest with you.
Until he beats Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
This screams overreactive Auburn fans after this game. But, yeah, give me Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous. I'll take Georgia.
Oh, we're screwed.
Yep. Auburn, so this one, 40. Auburn's going to win by 3
War
touchdowns.
War damn Eagle!
Fade it, boys. Fade it.
I was going to actually say the exact same thing as you, Logan, which is that Georgia's defense, very, very good at staying home and just letting you come to them, whereas Auburn kind of thrives off moving a defense around and getting them moving the wrong direction and that sort of thing. Georgia's only giving up 89 yards on the ground per game.
Yeah.
Now, it helps if you're winning pretty consistently, because then people have to pass against you, but only 165 yards through the air. So they're a really good defense.
And they didn't they play Michigan? I mean Michigan, Mississippi State earlier this year and completely shut down that sort of.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that was soon after run. Mississippi State beat LSU.
Yeah, it was like the week after.
They beat them 31-3.
Georgia.
So yeah, I think Georgia. I like Georgia's defense against Auburn's offense more than I like Auburn's defense against Georgia's offense. Georgia's offense, they're the same on both sides of the ball. Like you said, they're not disruptive of defense. They're not going to gouge you on offense. They're just going to do, you know, they're going to do what they're good at, and they're going to wear you down. And I think Auburn is a team that might be vulnerable to that style of play. So,
gotcha.
Dawgs.
All right, next up, staying in the SEC, Bama at Mississippi State, a resurgent Mississippi State squad, I suppose. They are evidently resurgent because Bama's only favored by 14.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama comes into this game dealing with a lot of injuries, actually. I think they're missing 3 or 4 starters on either side of the ball, if that is true. Something along those lines. The five-star sophomores and freshmen will have to play.
Right. Baptism by fire.
Which is a real shame. But, yeah, this game's at Mississippi State. Got another home dog situation here. I get to go first. I'm going to take Mississippi State with the points here. I think they can keep it close. I think Mississippi State is a more refined version of Texas A&M. Texas A&M gave Alabama
the highest
a little
compliment.
Yes, yes, gave Texas A&M. Sorry, Alabama had some fits with Texas A&M earlier this year. That game was close. I like Dan Mullen in these sort of like big games. I think he usually puts together a pretty good game plan. He's had some success against Alabama in the past at Florida and at Mississippi State. So, this is an intriguing coaching matchup, frankly. And Mississippi State does enough unique stuff on offense that I think they could keep it close. I don't think they beat Alabama, though. Just when it comes to talent and depth, Alabama still got the edge.
Jason.
I'm going to take the Tide. I don't think.
Smart move.
I think, first of all, Saban got to preach on only a 14-point win over LSU last week. So I'm sure he's got them thinking that everybody in the country thinks they suck.
Yeah. Well, half the team didn't hear the speech because they were at the hospital.
It's a fair point. No, that's true. Alabama is dinged up. But yeah, I think there's just way too much talent on Alabama's side. I like Mississippi State. They've looked good recently, with the exception of last week. But I guess I could see Mississippi State keeping it close, but I don't have enough confidence in them. I think Saban jumps on them early and just sits on them.
I want to pick Mississippi State because I think that place is going to be rocking.
Jumping.
Yeah. The cowbells will be out in full force.
Full Kalenga situation.
Yeah, and it's always fun to root for like a home at night SEC team in a big game like this, but I'm going to go Alabama. I don't love that Mississippi State relies a lot on the run, and that's what Alabama is great at shutting down. Like Jason said, I think coming off of a maybe less than desirable outcome against LSU. Alabama comes out with a bigger chip on their shoulder. The injuries do concern me, but Logan, like you said, it's not like they've got questionable talent backing those guys up. So I will go with the Tide, but I will be pulling for the Dogs to make it fun.
Very nice. Can you guys hear the rooster crowing next door?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a little bit.
Just give me deja vu.
Neighborhood's got character.
It's a little homemade. The dog, my dog has discovered the rooster.
Okay.
And the rooster is literally just on a leash, just in the yard. So that's just a toy.
It's a power move.
A toy that can't go away. So yeah, Nora's loving that. All right, Notre Dame at Miami. I am actually really excited for this game. Miami's awesome. They're Miami is so fun. They're a nice jolt for college football. Big fan of the turnover chain. And they managed to get a lot of turnovers, so they really seem to be going all out for it. They seem like a very Miami team. I love Manny Diaz and his 5 o'clock shadow.
The permanent 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. I love evil Mark Richt with evil Mark Richt with the goatee is pretty awesome too. He seems like he's really loving life. So
Mark Richt like he looks like he's ready to like star in Bad Santa.
Yes,
he's like, all right, this Santa drives a Harley and drinks daiquiris on the beach, brother.
Right. This seems like
this Mark Richt gets hammered at Applebee's.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's the Mark Richt.
So Jason,
that recruits.
You get to lead us off, Jason. We've got another juicy home dog situation.
We do. And you talked me into him. I wanted to take him before, and this is an emotional pick, which is probably definitely means Notre Dame's going to win by 3 scores. But I enjoy watching Miami play. They're fun. It's just a blast to watch them. So
high,
that gives me some
high volatility,
interest.
Jason.
I think
they're high volatility.
They are. That is true. Boom or bust. I think they. It scares me that they're not great against the run.
Yeah,
That very much concerns me. But I feel like if this game was in South Bend, I don't know if there's a line high enough that you could talk me out of picking Notre Dame. But I feel like weird stuff happens in Miami.
You wouldn't pick Miami like +78, Jason.
Okay,
yeah. Just tone it down with the hyperbole.
For like a decade and a half, you've done this crap. I don't know why I still
lobbed that softball right up there.
This is a game day game. And they're going to be on campus, actually, which I think is new for Miami.
Miami has a campus?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Wow.
It's in a city called Coral Gables.
Good for
them. Coral Gables. I think it's going to be crazy down there. And I'm very excited to watch it. And I'm going to take Miami with little to no facts on my side besides weird stuff happens in Miami.
Yep. I'm going to go Notre Dame on the theory that we just can't have nice things as college football fans.
See, that's smart.
I think Miami had their fun like coming out party last week and winning a big game at home at night. in their favor, I do like that it's also at home this week. They don't have to go on the road after an emotional win last week. But this is kind of a contrarian to pick, like, leave it up to Brian Kelly to ruin my fun and stay, you know, squarely in the playoff picture by beating Miami. So, I'm purely going gut instinct here, and Miami loses by, like, 7 or more.
Yeah. I'm going to take Notre Dame as well. I just think, Jason, you mentioned Miami doesn't defend the run that well. I think they're like 11th in the ACC in rushing defense.
170 yards a game.
Yeah, kind of surprising. We talked about this a little bit with NC State's defense. They have a very disruptive defensive line, but sometimes that is to the detriment of their run defense. And Miami is very much the same as NC State as far as the disruptiveness of their defensive line. And Notre Dame eventually figured it out last week against NC State to the tune of 35-14 win, I believe. So I'm gonna take Notre Dame here. I think they win comfortably. It's been a great I would love to see Miami win this game, like, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we talked about, like, they I'm really enjoying the ride that they're on, and that they seem like they kind of can do this, like, nobody believes in us plucky underdog thing, even though they're Miami. And side note, they're like, everyone on their defense is a sophomore. They're going to be that linebacking crew.
I said it, they are going to be
so nasty next year. If they can, if Nkosi Perry, that quarterback, comes along the way he should, Miami's going to be a top five team next year. So anyhow, Miami fans, hold on to your britches, because you know,
hold on to your board shorts. That was topical. Like that.
Tuck those chains
on to your
in.
flowy white linen shirts, and wait for 2018. But yeah, I think Notre Dame takes them down here. So, and plus, like, Miami got away with a lot against Virginia Tech last week. I mean,
Rozier threw three picks.
Yeah, Rozier threw three picks.
Lost a fumble.
Something like that. And they were just, I mean, they were just much, much better. I think much more talented than Virginia Tech and able to overcome that. I don't know that you overcome that against Notre Dame. If by some weird way you get Notre Dame into a situation where they have to pass, then, I mean, this game becomes toss up, I think. But, no one's really been able to do that yet. I mean, Notre Dame scored almost 30 points on Georgia.
Yeah, and Miami's offense doesn't strike me as the kind that, like, oh, they just jumped out to a 10 or 14 right. nothing lead, and now Notre Dame's got to throw the ball. So
yeah, and Homer's good back, and he can hit a big one at right. any point. But yeah, so but I'm really, I actually am legitimately very excited to watch this game.
Yeah, that'll be my primary fun. Watch at 8 o'clock tomorrow or
right.
Saturday.
The stadium is beautiful and the games look really nice there too. I don't know if
I think they've replaced the playing surface 4 times already this year. Because
with Jay Ajayi out there yeah. getting 2 yards of carry.
Well, not anymore, because didn't he get traded?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Fast track there in Miami. All right, TCU at Oklahoma is the nightcap. Another one of these Big 12 banger type games. I'm getting a little sick of these, I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like every week it's just like, oh, Big 12, let's do it.
I don't understand that Oklahoma, thought process at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun, but I just feel like we always talk about, like, oh, the Big 12. Like, this is Team X's chance to remain in the playoff competition.
Damn it, another fun game. That sucks.
Oh, crap.
Okay, question. So, the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game last week, was that fun or was that a little bit too much?
The first half was a little bit too much. The second half was fun.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're on the same page. Yeah. Like, 28-28 at the end of the first quarter was like, I was kind of like,
okay. Oh, there's a line.
Yeah.
Maybe if anybody would try at all or be able to do anything. But all right, but Oklahoma is 7-point favorite here. And at home favorite, not home dog.
Correct.
Home fave. I thought there was a, I don't know, is there a gambling term for that, Jordan?
Not that I've been privy to.
You got the dogs and the...
The favorites.
Cats.
The favorites.
All right. Yeah. And the favorites. The okay. Do you go first, Jordan,
on this
one? I
do. I'm going to go back to my boy Baker Mayfield. I scorned him last week and he made me pay for it. So give me your Heisman Trophy winner. I think he's like the third guy I've called for the Heisman this year. But
confidence is the key, Jordan.
Give me Baker Mayfield, Lincoln Riley, and Ruffin McNeil to really do it on Chip Patterson this week. That's
Gary
all I got.
Patterson, but yeah, I think it's Gary.
He fancies himself a Chip Kelly. Kind of guy.
Chip Patterson is a CBS sports guy, I think.
Let's not delve into this too
no,
too
far. It's okay. There's a lot of Barretts and Chips and Scotts and such.
I think I was thinking Shackett, and so I had the sh on my tongue, so I just went with Chip.
Classic. So
Chip.
I always really... Jason has to take TCU here because he has them as his Big 12 champion. Okay. But
runner up
to Texas.
Sorry,
the Longhorns Texas. Are taking home the title this year, brother.
Man, these games are weird. I feel like these teams are all like sort of have a lot of interchangeable parts. But yeah, I think Baker. I shouldn't pick against Baker Mayfield anymore this season, probably. And I don't think Kenny the Thrill Trill Hill is quite up to the.
The challenge
of Oklahoma. So, Kenny the Thrill Hill Trill.
God.
Anyhow, let's get
on
Oklahoma
a t-shirt
because of quarterbacking and. But you listen, our guy Chip Patterson / Gary can definitely put together a game plan when it comes to calling defensive ball plays. It could get weird, but I just think eventually Oklahoma's you can't go that quarterback matchup is too lopsided.
Yeah. Jason Crick.
I am going to take the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah, I really like TCU's defense, especially led by whatever his name is. Now, Gary Patterson's a great coach.
Arch
really like,
Patterson.
I really like good old Rich Patterson over there.
old Mr. Coach guy.
Old Mr. Coach Patterson fella. He runs. He's always one of my favorite defensive coaches to watch. I don't know that TCU wins this game. It wouldn't shock me at all if Oklahoma State like kicks a field goal, scores late, escapes.
Did you say Oklahoma State?
Did I?
You did, but it's okay.
I apologize.
What talking about.
That Miller Lite.
I don't even remember what sober feels like.
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, I think
Go Pokes.
It wouldn't shock me if Oklahoma wins this game, but I think it'll be an escape if they do. I like TCU's defense. I love Baker Mayfield, but I think this is a fun strength-on-strength matchup.
Gotcha. Cool.
Give me the horny toads.
We got ourselves a Saturday to lay out. I got about, 14, 15, 16 hours of this. Yeah. So.
Also, no potentially spicy Pac-12 after dark, so we'll get to get another solid night of sleep in theory.
Right.
I mean, in Oregon State, Arizona is going to get weird. Let's not kid ourselves. But.
Yeah. Just DVR that one, guys. Little pro tip. Just put that on the DVR or watch it the next day on Watch ESPN.
You got a nice
replay.
Little Sunday brunch. It's good.
Nice little Sunday afternoon instead of watching those, spoiled billionaires run around and play NFL.
I think we upgrade their income status every week.
It is Veterans Day weekend. They better not be out there disrespecting,
Right.
You feel me?
I feel you, brother. These
okay,
colors don't run. I'll edit that out. It's fine.
On that note, let's go ahead and sign off. It's been fun. Thanks for joining us. Find the Wheel Route on the World Wide Web, twitter.com at the Wheel Route, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com, thewheelroute.com, thewheelroute.com is the website. You can stream the show there, or you can stream the show from your favorite podcast acquisition service. As always, go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.